students will listen to this. This is an education resource tool. So somebody's thinking, maybe I'd like to serve my community in the capacity of police officer. Harry, what would you say to that young person?
Welcome to the club. You meet the minimum entry standards. They vary from agency to agency across the United States. Tulsa Police Department is one of few cities in the nation that requires a college degree for entry-level police officers. I was instrumental in that when the National Advisory Commission on Law Enforcement Standards and Goals made its report back in 1970. They recommended that every entry-level police officer in the United States should have a baccalaureate degree. The requirement should be there by 1982. I think I was in planning and research at that time, and I took that to the chief and said, this is the recommendation. Chief said, okay, you sell it. And it took a long time. It was an incremental increase. Now, to back up for a minute, in the late 50s, early 60s, the city had offered a 5% incentive for officers who obtained 60 hours of undergraduate credit. And then a couple of years later, an additional 5% for officers who obtained a college degree. So the incentive to obtain education among police officers had been there for a long time. And it wasn't a hard sell. Probably the biggest questions that I had were from rank-and-file members of the department. James Earl Jones and Kevin Costner said, if you build it, they will come. And I take the same position on the rate of pay. Realize for college-educated people, we'll be competing with a lot of industries, and the city will have to realize that if you put this in place, it's going to cost you more money. And I hearken back to June of 1966 when the Supreme Court handed down Miranda versus Arizona. Time magazine ran an article on the decision shortly after it happened. The closing paragraph in that article was, all of this means that cities will have to hire more and better police officers, a fact which many cities may not be willing to acknowledge. I used that phrase in the sales pitch I made. Jack Purdy had a high school education and a lot of experience in the military that benefited him, but he pushed for it, and we appeared before the Civil Service Commission. They agreed to the incremental increase. Then in 1981, there was an attempt to stop it because the next step was a baccalaureate degree step. We went before the Civil Service Commission and asked for a year's delay to make the degree requirement occur in 1982. The reason for that was we wanted to gather data and be able to show that it was worthwhile. I guess it was 1982 that we went before the commission because I retired in 1983 and it didn't go forward until Ron Palmer pushed the degree requirement through in about 2004, something like that. I teach a class on the history of the Tulsa Police Department, probably because I've been associated with the police department since I was born. And Mike and I review with the officers on their last few days in the academy the background and history of the officers who've been killed in the line of duty. And I'm impressed with the quality of the young people that are coming into the department. I remember very vividly, I was hired in November and started in training in January. One of the guys in our rookie class was moonlighting, selling liquor out of his car at a dance hall outside of the city limits. He thought it was okay if he did it outside the city limits. He found out differently. I think we attract a better quality of employees. I've heard comments that in many cases we employ people who have spent their formative years being educated and they have no practical experience. I heard Chief Jordan saying we're seeing some changes in that with people coming back from the military. They have a college degree and they've been in the military. They've been exposed to the real world. I celebrated my 18th birthday off the coast of North Korea during the Korean War. I came back to the police department and the military nature of the organization was totally familiar to me. I think in general, and generalizations are generally wrong, you know that, but in general, I think that we have probably the best quality recruits that we've ever had, and the 26 week of training in the academy goes a long way toward outfitting them to deal with the things that they're unfamiliar with, and that's what it's really intended to do.
You know, I'm dealing with that on a pretty personal level. My son is going into being a senior in high school and has the brain power to be a doctor, or I mean his science and math skills are just through the roof. and he wants to be a policeman. What can I say? I mean, it put food on our table, and he has been involved or witnessed so much for me. The only caution I have to give him is you can't do it like I did it. Not that I did anything wrong. The rules just don't let that really happen anymore. That's why being a homicide detective was so good, because you know the rules, you don't break the law, but it allows you to think and be a free thinker. But in my last couple of years, you know, I had a couple of death threats. I had the SWAT team living at my house for a couple of weeks. My son saw all this. Plus, most of his life, I was a single parent. And when I got called into work, and he's 8 years old, and there's nobody else to take care of him, he came in to work with me. You know, I had a sleeping bag and a pillow at the station. He went there, sleep there a lot. And he just grew up in that thing, just like you did, I'm sure. But I just got to say, hey, more power to it. If you want to be in law enforcement, it's a great job. You really get to help people. Some of these people that have this concept, I want to do something for the good of mankind. You look and see what they're doing. You think, really? That's all you're doing? Well, good for you that you got that thought. But you can be a policeman and you can change somebody's life that night. And that's what it's about. Helping people is what it's about.
When I'm driving down the highway and I see a police officer, he has stopped a car. In that moment that he walks up to the driver's side, I look at it as so vulnerable, because he doesn't know when that window comes down what's going to come back at him.
The second most dangerous event in a police officer's life. The most dangerous is a domestic violence call. But that traffic stop and that approach, and the training is that you do certain things, and if you do those, he, the person who wants to do you harm, is at a disadvantage. If you don't do those, you're a dummy. My oldest son is a field training officer, and one of the things he does is have some friend drive, and he's prepared to see what the rookie does when the friend doesn't respond the way a normal traffic violation would.
So there are ways an officer, through his training, is protecting himself as he's walking up to
that
car door.
That's right. Just for example, and I know that with new lighting systems and all that, it may not be necessary, but I carried a 5-cell flashlight. I would walk up on a car at night and just casually shine my flashlight in the back seat. Who's back there? I never was surprised. An officer who has been properly trained and follows the training will stop behind the doorpost so that the violator has to look around at him and he can see the hands. And there's a host of things that officers are trained to do to make it at least safer, if not entirely safe. I don't think it can ever be entirely safe.
I tell you, we're so shorthanded here in Tulsa. You know, you may be at 56th Street North in Cincinnati, and your closest car may be coming from 11th and Lewis. Mm-hmm. A whole lifetime can begin and end in that time. It is one of the scariest things ever. You know, the majority of the time, it goes very smoothly, and people are very cooperative and very nice. But you get one or two bad things where something just erupts. Gus Spanos pulled over a car at 54th Street North in Cincinnati, and Anthony Kimbrough literally stepped 1 foot out of the car, swung his right arm around out the door, and just popped a shot off, which miraculously, for his benefit, hit Gus Spanos in the head. He didn't know it was coming. It just happened in a split second. You know, that stuff, you can go on the internet if you're keyed into the right searches. Every night, somebody's got something like that going. And I tell you, I got sworn in on my 21st birthday. I'm a small guy. And I was confronted so many times, just being tested. It can really scare you to death. It can make you not want to be what our job is. But on the flip side, you can say, what a great challenge. What a good adrenaline rush. Boy, I handled that good. Nobody got hurt. Right down to literally my last weeks on the job at the police department, myself and another detective were interviewing a guy in the interview room, which is supposed to be safe, a guy that was handcuffed in front. We thought his son had killed somebody the night before. Actually, he was a killer. But, I mean, just in a matter of minutes, he attacked us, tried to get the other officer's gun out of his holster. I retired on a Friday. On Monday, I started my first of two shoulder surgeries, and I got a broken neck out of it. So I had a neck fusion. It just shows you that that's the nature of the job, yeah. You know. And after about 50, you probably ought to find something not quite as physical.